Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, you have reached, have come to Access Psychic Access, and you are here with us tonight to listen to UFO Witnesses with Jeff Faulkner. My name is Carmen Miro, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Jeff Faulkner, our UFO witness for this evening's interview, will be joining us. Before we get started with interviewing Jeff, let's welcome some of my co-hosts tonight. Hi to you, Maureen. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good tonight, Carmen. Thank you for asking. And I'm looking forward to your series. I'd like to, your series on the UFO, extraterrestrials, and all that cool stuff, which I am all very fascinated in.
I know, and I can't wait to hear about your experiences, and I know you're a big fan, and this is going to be amazing creative juice for all of us.
Absolutely. And this is what I do. I clean the house. What I am is what I think I am. I work with everybody here at PsychicAccess.com, and I am very blessed too, because I feel everybody at PsychicAccess.com, including my co-host, are fantastic. And I read the tarot. My empath ability can be struggling, but I do read with a caring heart. And I do feel that tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And I care about my work and people.
Thank you. Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's great. So so for you, Steve, what do you do with PsychicAccess.com?
Thank you, Carmen. I'm a hermetic astrologer and psychic medium.
Fantastic. Just more the merrier.
I'm excited about the show. It's a fascinating subject.
I know. We're all so excited. I can't wait to. And hello to you, Stephen.
Hello. How are you, Carmen?
I'm okay. Thank you.
I'm getting glad to hear that.
Getting used to this deep winter that we're in. Stephen, what do you do for PsychicAccess.com?
Well, I am a medieval predictive astrologer, and I also am an analyst of the tarot. And using these two tools, I help people become aware of what's coming their way. Am I going to perform well on this exam? Does he love me? Am I going to get this job, etc.? Things of that sort. I get deal with a lot of clients who have personal family issues. Is there any way I can get through to my son, who's a teenager and incredibly hard-headed, etc.? So Psychic Access really allows me to really tackle some of the harder problems society faces, and I love what I do.
And he's a very intelligent man.
Thank you.
And I am Carmen Miro. I am a telepath. I'm a tarot reader, and I specialize in the popular cult of telepathy. So, and in investigating all kinds of mysteries with our wonderful radio show. And let's get that started. I'm going to introduce you to our guest tonight. His name is Jeff Faulkner. And in the 90s, Jeff Faulkner worked under the employ of the Canadian government in two enforcement positions. During his night shifts, he had UFO encounters in the Yukon, and that's province in Canada. Having had two near-death experiences and extraterrestrial contact, Jeff traveled from Canada to the U.S. and then ended up residing near Mount Shasta, California. This is actually a natural place to gravitate towards if you're maintaining or open to maintaining contact with extraterrestrial beings, to go check it out. But he and others witnessed in Canada on that Yukon Highway in 1997 a UFO event. And having been part of an official group of government employees that saw this happen, Jeff felt he had to leave under enormous pressure and never speak about it again. But he's here tonight. And after being pushed underground for a number of years, he now feels he can talk about his experiences openly and with us this evening. Thank you and welcome. Welcome to the show tonight, Jeff. Hi.
Thank you. I was just explaining, bear with me tonight because I came down with a terrible head cold yesterday, so I don't always sound like this.
Actually, it sounds very good on you. I like that edge to your voice. You sound pretty nice. It's great to hear from you. Thank you for coming tonight. I also have a slight cold, so I really appreciate you making it as well. So, Jeff, I mean, we're just so excited. You are the person that we are bringing in to tonight's event to induct our UFO witness event series that I will be starting. And we are all pretty much on our tiptoes waiting to hear parts of your story and, of course, your theories around this. So, Jeff, tell us a bit about yourself, please.
Sure, Carmen. I think you pretty much covered it. I had two NDEs growing up, one in England when I was 4 years old. I was impaled on a fence, and that's the first time I saw angels all surrounding me as doctors and nurses. And then I left my body when I was being sewn up at home, actually, in those days. And I lifted out of my body, and I saw these doctors and nurses around me again holding hands that nobody else saw. And I survived that one, and then I grew up seeing spirits, and I would wake up and find them sitting on my bed or standing over looking at me, and I was never afraid of them. And then when I was 18, I joined the Navy in Nova Scotia, actually, and I'm Canadian, guys, and I drowned in a training exercise, and I was underwater for 12 minutes, and I crossed over at that time. I saw a lot of things, I was shown a lot of things, and I made the choice to come back, and I came back with a really, really great understanding. I remembered everything that I saw. Then just to zip forward, I kind of grew up kind of taking life not quite so seriously because I know it's not our true reality. We're here to experience and to exercise our judgments and this sort of thing. I'll tell you right off the bat, there is no wrong decision. There's just easier decisions and harder decisions. We're not judged. We actually judge ourselves. I remember when I went over, I was standing with a being there, and I said, oh, gosh, I should have done this. And they said, no, you could have done that. So there's no judgment coming from them. That's kind of a fallacy from the church. So let's drop that one. Then in 1999, I was sitting on my computer after I left the government job. That's when it really kind of took off after I had the experiences and that sort of thing. And I had an epiphany, which is, you know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And I don't belong to any church or institution of belief. And I was sitting at my computer, and this energy came into my feet and rose out through my body. And I couldn't move at all. And then I just felt like it was empty, and then all of a sudden I was just filled with this immense love. It's the only way. You can't describe the intensity of it. This is sometimes why we struggle so hard for love and acceptance on this planet, because we still are trying to identify with the love that we've been separated from by the veil of being here, but we never can ever reach that kind of an understanding of it here. At that time, I was shown... at that time, Jesus appeared before me in the upper half of his torso, and he smiled and he said, I've come to awaken you to what you chose to come back and do. And I knew then that was the being that I stood beside when I drowned. He then showed me world events, which at the end of the world events, he had pretty much showed me the worst case scenario of where we could be going. And I'm glad to say it is altering a bit on the timeline right now, so I'm pleased about that. But he told me when I would speak on it and I would write books, and he said, do not convert, do not convince, light the spark, the work is there. So that's what I do, is I share all the information I get in my life and let people decide what they want to do with it. So anyway, to get back into the, I touch on this briefly because I don't know if you got my message today, Carmen, but for the first time in about 3 years, I had my Facebook hacked yesterday and my Hotmail, and I have no doubt who that is. it's happened before, but not for quite a while. And it's funny, it happened the day before I'm coming on your show. I've been on shows before where sometimes the interviewers have actually had black helicopters go over their own personal homes. And that's gone on for quite some time, actually, not just a small event. The thing is that the event on the Alaska Highway started, it was a chain that started a chain. It wasn't immense in itself, except for the information I got from it. When it came off the job, that was when it really kind of got strange. I was driving north up to the Yukon, and I had a passenger with me, and I won't say who because I would never do that, but a passenger, and we saw this light following off to the west, and it was along the Yukon Mountains, and it was when Hale-Bopp Comet was going over, so it was quite a picture with the northern lights and all that sort of thing. And it was so bright and so clear up there in the atmosphere that you could see it quite well. And as we drove north, it followed along, you know. And we stopped and we got out the binoculars. And we could see very clearly that it was sort of a cigar shape because being a disc, it was sideways to us. But the lights were like red and green and blue and that kind of thing. So clearly that you could see the lights. sorry. When we came back from the Yukon, I sensed a lot while I was there. But when we came back from the Yukon... here's where it gets a little hairy. A U.S. convoy carrying missiles was going up to Alaska, and it came through my area of enforcement. And I kind of dealt with them, and they had to leave some things behind because of the restrictions on the highways at that time of the year in the spring of 97. They were going up there apparently for war games, which I've researched and found there were no war games that were actually going on at that time. North Korea was acting up at the time, and I believe that's why they were going. But they had these trucks with missiles on, and they left and they went up. And when they came back, one of the drivers came to me and said, "Well, you should have seen that." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Well, I saw this. We saw this UFO, and it was following our convoy. It was like red, green, blue lights, and it was going around like this, and it followed us, and it was really something." And there were some MPs nearby, and kind of frowning at him, and he told me afterwards that he was told not to divulge anything at all about what was seen on that military convoy. Now, he went up on the second load. When he came back, and I should say this is the same location that I had seen it the week before. When he came back, I kind of said to him quietly, I said, "So any more activity?" And he said, "I can't even talk to you." So I've been told that if I divulge anything of what happened on that second trip, he said, that I would disappear. So we knew there was a lot of things going on up there. I personally, I mean, I don't have evidence of it, but I personally believe that there's probably some kind of contact up there. And I'll explain why as we go along. I left the job because it just became too stressful. And 2 years later, I was renting a beautiful home with a friend, and we had to do a credit check. You know, they had to do one on us. And they came back and said, "You know, there's a problem with your credit." And I said, "Why?" And I was 52 years old. They said, "You don't have any." I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "The credit bureau told me to ask you if you are with the CIA or CSIS," which we all know is an arm of the CIA. And if you're a member of either of those or involved with them, and if you don't want to answer, then we won't force you. But apparently the CIA or CSIS are the only agencies, the credit bureau said, that had the ability to wipe out the person's entire life credit history. So I wanted to rent the house. I said, "Well, I can't answer that." But things have been going on like that. I had an incident where I was having coffee in Victoria, B.C., one summer every morning with a fellow, I won't say his name, but he said, he told me he was white-haired and very officious looking, and he said he was involved in Burbank, California, in the movies and all this, and we were talking all summer. And then one morning, towards the end of it, of that summer, I was taking off from my lectures, and the coffee was really bitter, and I said, "Well, that's really bitter coffee," and he said, "Yeah, it's the last pot, and I know Starbucks don't keep it that long." And I was leaving there, and I was taking it easy. I was on my 10-speed. And anyway, I wiped out, and I hurt my knee, and I was walking up to the ambulance depot, which was right there, luckily. And the fellow said, would you like me to fix that? And I said, sure. And I walked towards him, and that's the last I remembered. Now, 2 days later, 48 hours later, I woke up in the local hospital on the island. And they said that you've had some kind of an amnesia incident here, and it's what we called 48-hour, look this up on the internet, 48-hour global transient amnesia. So they said, you know, we found in your backpack, you know, your daughters, and they're going to come and talk to you. And here's a pen and paper, and if you think of anything that you can remember for the last 48 hours, which I thought later, why 48 hours? I'd want to remember everything. They'd write it down and give it to us and don't show it to anybody. So I had to also state at this time is that when I came out of that and the nurse came to me, I looked around the hospital room. I had no conscious thought. This is the big thing. I had no conscious thought. I looked at a window and it didn't register a window. I didn't relate the name door to that object. It's like as if my thoughts had been wiped. I mean, totally clean. And these over the next 48 hours is when they slowly come back. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you look it up on the internet, you're going to find that they say global transient amnesia isn't really understood. Medicine doesn't know what causes it, but all of your memory comes back within the next 48 hours, thus the name. But the people involved that have it don't remember that 48 hours. Well, I'm telling you guys, when you know stuff, they want to get rid of that stuff, but it didn't quite work with me. I have no idea. At the time I had no idea, but I have no doubts that I was drugged that time, and I don't know what happened to that 48 hours. But I'll tell you this, is that we moved down here to the States, my wife and I, she's American. We moved down here, and we were moving our stock down, and it took 4 trips. Every time we came through the border, they would come up and say, come and see your passport, and the guy would walk off and run it on the computer. And one of the early trips, a guy came back with it, and I said, joking with him, I said, because, you know, I've been in enforcement, so I knew that it would pass through. And I said, did that check out okay? I said, I'm not wanted. And he said, and he came up quietly to me, and he said, that checked out absolutely fine. He said, and I really want to apologize for drawing attention to you. I'd love to see what's on that computer, because I've never been bothered at the border. One fellow gave us a hard time on the second trip, and I mean, an ex-Marine with a bad attitude, and the supervisor came out, ordered him back inside, and told us to go on our way. On the next trip, I asked the guy, is that guy still here? And they said, no, he was shipped out, like, immediately. So I think that reflects a little bit on the 48 hours I had missing, because I've never had that at the border. But I'll leave talk for a minute, Carmen, because my story goes on forever.
No, I'm just interested to hear your events. For one, it sounds traumatizing, utterly traumatizing, what you've been through. And do think, thank God that was 1997. I can't imagine you being in that position of responsibility and then having no training to maybe help you with the effects of not being able to talk about such events. And I am fascinated to hear, unfortunately, I'm very distraught to hear that something was introduced into your system where you felt you were poisoned. I have heard stories like that, and I do know that exists. Also, your history, interestingly enough, I do believe in 1997 there weren't really perhaps that many, you know, quote-unquote hackers around. So maybe some of your theory or story is true, though if I could be conspiratorial and say, but maybe another government wiped and erased your files, you know? So interesting and intriguing, and my mind spins and I think, really, that sounds like too neat of a job. And so now this man, are you in touch with any of the surviving witnesses?
Pardon me?
Are you in touch with any of the surviving witnesses of this event, like any of your work friends or anybody like that?
Well, that's another thing is that I also, when I left the job, I actually applied for another enforcement job. And here's the real clincher is that when they went for a reference for me from the BC government, they were told, and I followed it up, and I was told there's absolutely no record anywhere in their files of me ever working for them. But they'll hate to hear this, and I do have all of my training all of my training certificates locked away in a very good place. So as for the incident on the Yukon Highway, they were truck drivers going through, and that's all I knew about them. Not much was said about that, and it was hushed up pretty quietly. As far as my credit record being wiped out, my girlfriend at the time is a very good witness of that, because she and I were renting the house. So we both experienced that situation. And my passenger in the vehicle that night that we saw the UFO, of course, you know. So I do have the contacts, but I know it's all interesting and intriguing to people, but you know what I'd really like to kind of touch on a little bit here is that we have to get off this disclosure thing. The government loves this. They have us biting a bit. When are we going to have disclosure? Is it this year? Is it next year? My kid's waiting for that candy bar to arrive. You know what? There's so many people that have had experiences like mine, and even more so shattering their mind, that we all really, we have no doubts. We know that E.T. is there. As I said, my wife and I witnessed one coming over our ranch in the valley here in 2009, which we again saw on YouTube over Chile. That came over at 11 o'clock at night on a moonlit evening, about 15,000 to 17,000 feet up, and it was elongated triangular. It was the size of 3 football fields long. It was going fast because it cleared the valley in 7 seconds, but it was so big, it looked like it was actually going in slow motion. No sound, no lights, nothing. Now, this is like Independence Day size. This went right across. Everybody at 11 o'clock at night in the ranching valley were all getting all in bed or catching the news. So, I mean, what I really want to get out there tonight is that this isn't a theory anymore. This is the reality, and I'll pop this in real quick because I did a little background in here to give you some factual stuff here, too. Paulie Hellyer, as I'm sure you're aware of him, the former defense minister of Canada in, I believe, 69. I just got this off the net, and it's actually been authenticated. He says, and I'm just quoting a few things here, Indian species have been visiting Earth for thousands of years, says Canada's former defense minister, and they're worried that humans are going to destroy the planet. He's the first top official from a G8 nation to claim that extraterrestrial life has been confirmed, and he discussed his beliefs on Russia Today. Hellyer said that up to 80, that's 80, different species regularly visit Earth, from short grays to Nordic blondes and tall whites who could almost pass as humans. He claimed the tall whites are working with the U.S. Air Force in Nevada. They come from all over the galaxy, including from Venus, Mars, and Saturn's moon, Andromeda, and other star systems, Hellyer said. He said all but perhaps one or two of the species were benevolent and wanted to help humans, but they're bound by a code of conduct. Just flipping here. This is really important to get this out, especially to the Canadians that are listening. Mm-hmm. He said military investigators have traced 4 of the species back to thousands of years ago on the planet. We have a long history of UFOs, and of course there has been a lot more activity in the last few decades since we invented the atomic bomb, and they are very concerned about that and the fact that we might use them again, because the cosmos is in unity and it affects not just us, but other people in the cosmos, Hellyer said. They are very much afraid that we might be silly enough to start using atomic weapons again. This would be very bad for us and for them as well. He said the aliens had accepted that humans had a right to run their own planet, although there were concerns about the stewardship and the atomic weapons, which have such a devastating effect on our Earth. He said the aliens wish they could share more technology with humans, but are afraid that it would be used for warfare and a lot more, too, especially in the fields of medicine and agriculture, if we would go about it peacefully. But some of our people in government are more interested in taking technology from them and turning it into weapons. Anyway, it kind of goes on, but this is the guy who used to be the head of all the military in Canada in the 60s when all of this was going on. So you know, there's a lot out there, and for the people that are kind of religiously based, I pulled a little thing up on Billy Graham, because I used to love Billy Graham, the evangelist. And Billy Graham, who's passed away now, he said, in his book, he said, I believe there is intelligent life in outer space, and these beings probably look like us. Our solar system is just one of billions of in God's colossal creation, and I find it very hard to believe he would have created only one living planet, Earth. I firmly believe there is intelligent life in outer space, beings who probably look very much like the average American. He also believes that they have the capacity and the capability to visit Earth. They worship God just as we do. They could hold the solution to many of Earth's problems. I've discovered that many of America's top scientists, now this is a man, not just an evangelist, but he was also on the right-hand ear of just about every president there was, that many of America's top scientists and astronauts who are actively investigating the question of extraterrestrial life share my view. There are intelligent beings like us far away in space who worship God but would have nothing to fear. We would have nothing to fear from meeting these people. Anyway, he goes on and on. It's what I'm saying is this is, we have to get past, I guess what I kind of call the silly, the dramatic stage. It's about going just strictly to the drama and just start to realize we don't need disclosure now. We need intervention. This is where we're at now. The governments will not give us intervention or will not allow it, because if they just close to us, what are we going to choose? The governments have nothing to choose from. So the thing is that this is why I've had contact. I've had contact for 10 years. We haven't had physical yet, but I've been informed that it's very, very soon. We've had great evidence of the stuff that we get, the things that can be confirmed. The announcements to be made by NASA that are then a week later made by NASA. So, you know, that one that came over the valley that night, Carmen, they came through to me the next night in my sleep. My wife, we have books and books of writings on it, and my wife asked about the ship that went over that we saw. It was amazing. And he said, it's a Pleiadian scientific vessel. And she said, what do you do here with it? And they said, well, we go to the major Richter scale quake sites, and center over the epicenter, and we harmonize the crust with sonics to cut down the damage. They basically hold the plant together in a lot of ways right now. Now, 4 months later, I found that ship on YouTube hovering over Santiago, Chile at night, with the lights on, flashing away for over 40 minutes. I went to USGS, the Geological Survey down here, and I looked in there. That was the day that they had an 8.2 confirmation.
I'm looking at that right now. I remember seeing that with some amazing footage, and I've seen some pretty interesting footage out there, and I've been, you know, having a bit of fun trying to see which ones are, you know, misinformation, and also as a psychic, I'm able to kind of sense which ones are and which aren't. And just a little bit of background for you, and also for you listeners out there. Why I've decided to go with UFO intervention is because for myself, I grew up in Africa, never had much of the UFO U.S. culture around me, and thought that it was utter rubbish, and thought it was probably just devised by, you know, Hollywood to bring in some more interesting stories. But I'd actually had forgotten about experiences that some of us had as children. But nonetheless, what was more interesting for me was that I had dreams of certain crafts or technology, as I have dreams of politics, science, and oncoming events. And because I've written over 500 of these dreams down and documented them over the last 3 years, and have unfortunately had to dream about a lot of really awful things, such as the Fukushima incident, which I knew about 5 months prior. And if you Google my real name, you'll actually see an image that I drew, an art piece that I drew prior to the incident. And so I'm highly psychic that way, and it's very traumatizing to be that way. But I also noted that some of the descriptions you have of these crafts are like my dreams. And I just can't help but say that, you know, for me, because I'm somewhat of an spiritual skeptic, I find that very interesting, because what you describe is pretty much what I have seen. in another manner. So I haven't actually physically seen any. Now, you were discussing all kinds of interesting things. I mean, for me to think about the commingling of 80 different races, we only deal with, three or four here on Earth. But, I mean, we're talking about completely different DNA. And how do you feel they deal with each other coming into our territory? Do they cooperate?
Well, that's no problem. This is the whole thing. We're behind the evolution ladder. We're on the lower rungs on this planet. The thing is that they've been doing this as Mr. Hellier said. Some have been coming here for thousands of years. I mean, since man has been on this planet, this is nothing new. There's a one more thing I just noticed here, and I meant to say, is that Billy Graham, one thing he said was, from my studies of the scriptures, I can find nothing that would change our faith in God and the gospel if we discover life on other planets. And our society would benefit greatly by the discovery. We would have everything to gain. These are people, these are a species that basically are our creators. They all have a creator or a god. They all have that supreme being that they aspire to. And this has come from these officials that are coming out now. That's what I'm basing it on. The ones that come through us, it's the same thing. They're so far advanced that they're part of evolution, is for down here experiencing it, that they've already surpassed all that. When you have 80 species, as Mr. Hellier's witnessed, and says there's only two that aren't benevolent, then that pretty much gives you an idea. There's already a harmony in the universes, in the galaxies. We're supposed to be evolving from where we are into where they are. Now, the important thing is that I learned when I had my NDE, Carmen, was that we are totally, totally evolved beings on the other side. But we have that blocked by us when we come here, because it's not just a matter of trying to learn something we already know. It's coming down here and having the fortitude with all the temptation, all the things we shouldn't do, and making all the decisions ourselves without any spiritual guidance from up above, except for what we can pull out of the center of our real selves. Is that we're showing here that we're at a point of control that we can start to make those kind of changes. I had this the other night at 2:00 in the morning. My wife came out, and I was sitting here, and I was automatic writing, I guess, channeling, as I do with them sometimes. And I didn't even know she was there until she said the next day. I didn't know I'd written anything until the next day in the afternoon. This, obviously for this show, it said, the world is compressing because the people are awakening. When this happens, the world... The world expands with such extremity that it falls back upon itself as the new paradigm. The social consciousness cannot ever be again as it was, nor can it ever stay as it is. Nothing can stand in the way of the evolution of a human soul, for it never was unevolved. There's a clue right there. My understanding on the other side, we are evolved, but we have never been unevolved here, but we are blocked from our evolution, so we... works through all the stuff to show that we can come back to core. It says we never were unevolved, only adrift in a world of disinformation, which we're flooded by it. Forward it moves until once again reuniting with the core of the common God consciousness home. Now that came through the other night. I mean, I'm not a silly kind of man, but I'll tell you, I can't sit down and write that.
No, I know.
That answers the question. That answers your question right there.
I'm just going to interrupt you quickly for our commercial, and I want to actually touch on what you were saying regarding this kind of theory and spiritual phenomenology. And one moment.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
So Jeff, you know that this philosophy and guidance, what do you think it would take for these persons, individuals, you know, we call them aliens, to get through to us? We've had 4,000 years of education in terms of from world religions. What would a foreign intervention actually achieve?
Well, that's opening a can of worms. I try and tell people, because of the religious aspect that everybody lives under here, is that we have to stop thinking about ourselves as earthlings, and we are actually extraterrestrial. We believe that the body is of the planet, which it is, so that's terrestrial, and our spirit comes from heaven, from home out in the galaxy, the cosmos, and takes possession of the body and fulfills its purpose here and returns back there at the time of the death of the body, then our soul is also extraterrestrial. And that means that God and Jesus are extraterrestrial. So I'm kind of getting this extraterrestrial thing into who we are and who they are. We're all the same. All of our brothers and sisters in the cosmos are all children of God, and we all go back to the source. What do you call it? The Creator. By the way, I asked one of my contacts here when they came through one night about God. Is that God's name? You know, how do we get God for the name? Well, God is this untangible, except for what we understand of. So, like, he kind of, you know, the Bible puts down that Jesus came down in form so that we can relate. Okay, we can't see God, but here's the Son of God, and therefore we can relate to that, take the learning off him, and now we're connected to God through. And that's why Jesus said, no one shall reach my Father but through me. So they're getting that channel going there. I was told that God isn't actually his name. God stands for Geometry of Design. So you would think that the greatest creator out there in the cosmos that creates every tiny little grain of sand and every massive planet is one massive creator. Well, this is a geometry of design, and it's more like that's his job description or his professional line instead of his actual name. Don't forget that a lot of things that we use for names are in this realm. When I went over totally without a body, and I was totally conscious energy. I was conscious thought. That everything intelligently working in the way of hearing my thoughts like words and being somewhere but not seeing my body, we are intelligence. I guess if I had to put some kind of a body to it, I would think like kind of like a plasma being, semi-transparent, because I didn't see it with the body as such. So the thing is that when we talk, and they talk in the Bible about the battle of the angels, the war of the angels, when Satan, who was an angel, actually went against God and was cast out because he failed. Now we actually take that out of the mythical side of what church wants you to believe, because they don't want you to know that you're extraterrestrial. I mean, good law. We'd have to think that we're something more than we are. So they keep us in this form of ignorance. And it's not so much lies, but lies by omission, like little things like God has many mansions. Well, God has many universes, many galaxies. They change things. And the fact about that hell and the devil and Satan all live in the center of the earth, we brought up. Hell is under the earth. Well, in reality, that's where they say that the grays are in the center of the earth. Not the center, but they're in the crust. Admiral Byrd, who went to the expedition to the South Pole, when he came back, this very credible man, had a book that he wrote on it where he actually mentions the cities within the earth's crust. He actually says in his book he was taken into the earth's crust, into these major cities that are below the crust down there. I mean, if you're going to do something like that, you're going to put it where nobody goes. That's the South Pole, or places in the Bermuda Triangle, or actually it's a magnetic point of navigational. That's why everything does go wacky in there. So when you say, what's it going to take? It's going to take them coming down basically right in front of us, and they're going to shatter our misbeliefs or misinterpretations. And when it's in front of us, that's when it's going to work. Because then we're going to find out we are these wonderful spiritual beings, and that we can evolve a lot better when we're not being drunk by GMO foods, we're not being poisoned, constantly the planet's falling apart and it's not going to support life much longer. So it's going to take that kind of a big thing. And like if you get to the point of my understanding is that we are extraterrestrial, then Jesus is extraterrestrial. So I don't question the second coming of Christ, but don't be surprised if it's a fleet of UFOs that fill the eastern sky and not angels with wings. Angels with wings were created by artists. You know, the angels were never seen to have wings in the early records of angelic encounters and things like this. This is something that they did. So we're still talking about beings without wings, and I believe it's going to take, I believe that the second coming of Christ is actually going to be the return of Jesus and the angels, which are other terrestrials, our brothers and sisters. They're going to come down for this intervention. Billy Graham also stated in one part of his book that he believes that UFOs contain angels of God who will start to show up in great numbers prior to the second coming of Christ. So this is where we are, folks. It's coming whether you like it or not. But, and I got to say this one, because this is a clincher. This is what we have to really think about now. Martin Luther King said, our generation will have to repent not only for the words and acts of the children of darkness, but also for the fears and apathy of the children of light. So when you have children of light, those that are here for good, and there's a lot of us, when the children of light stop and are able to face their fears and actually take a firm position in everything that's happening, then things are going to change. There's so much apathy in the world, and they fear. The fear comes to them because of the lack of connection to who we are and where we're from.
I wonder why they took an interest in us. I mean, one of the things I wanted to think is I would surmise maybe they can hear us, you know, in pain and wanting to leave and needing some intervention. And another thing I wanted to say, what did that UFO sound like when it passed over you?
The one that came over the ranch? Absolutely.
No, the first one,
silent.
In 1997.
That sound. Here is something that is 3 football fields long, folks. It had no operational lights, and of course it had to come right over Mount Shasta to come past us in our valley. It had no lights, and the amazing thing was, Carmen, that there was not a sound. Not as silently drifted across the valley. Not a whir, not a buzz, nothing.
That's the cylindrical one. And then you have that one that came over your area where you live, Mount Shasta. Must be a wonderful community, by the way. What sound did that have? Can you hear them?
No. If you are hearing sound, you can bet it's some kind of a government sort of a replication. These don't work on the same propulsion as what we have here. Everything here that we make operates from the core fossil fuel. Fossil fuel is dinosaur in more ways than one. We don't need to have fossil fuels, and they know that. It's like, I mean, I'm old enough, I'm 65 now. I can remember back when all the V8s, it was coming out about, oh, there's this great device that you can hook onto your carburetor, and your V8 engine won't get 18 miles a gallon, it'll get 25. And then we find out later it really existed, but the auto companies were buying up the patents and killing them because they're also hand in hand with the with the fossil fuel folks. You got guys like Bush and all these guys. I mean, these guys are all up. That's what they do. They make money on fossil fuels. They kill for fossil fuel. In fact, there's a thing I just breezed through to see if I can spot it. But Hellyer actually spoke at the University of Toronto back in his day, 2005, I think it was. And here it is, November 2005, Mr. Hellyer accused U.S. President George W. Bush publicly of plotting an intergalactic war. The former defense minister told an audience at the University of Toronto, the United States military are preparing weapons which could be used against the aliens, and they could get us into an intergalactic war without us even having any warning. The Bush administration has finally agreed to let the military build a forward base on the moon, which will put them in a better position to keep track of the goings and comings of the visitors from space and to shoot at them if they so decide. This is the Star Wars technology.
So that's why they
don't want to share.
No, it's just so like old style, like kind of like a Cold War mentality of like, let's make a base and let's watch the galaxy, you know. And it's like so small minded because, in fact, there may not actually be a threat. So what's going on here is really pretty much just kind of the sense of, you know, let's watch the watchers, which I find, of course, is very human. I mean, they must look at us and think we're very peculiar in our ways of feeling so threatened.
Well, you know, the reason that the governments are doing all this, I mean, let's get down to it, is that we can go back all the names, the Illuminati, the powers that be, all of these, the royal families, all these kind of things, the Bush the syndrome, all this kind of stuff throughout history, even the Egyptians. You look back at Akhenaten in Egypt, in his day, they have his skull, and this skull is elongated, it's not even human. And that's historically a fact. Now, as Mr. Hellyer said, they've been coming here for thousands of years. So if the ones that were coming in the first place were not that good, weren't as friendly as a lot of them are now, they were the first ones here, and they basically operated everything that they needed to do on this planet through their hierarchy on the planet. So basically, the royal family have always been connected to it since the beginning of time. The Egyptians were connected to it. As we get older, we know that they didn't put logs down in sand and put huge, great big laser blocks of stone on it and drag it up onto a pyramid. I mean, you can figure that out in your own backyard. But these were actually built by the extraterrestrials of the time. And it wasn't so much that they were like great transponders or things like this. It was their way of showing, of epitomizing the deity of the people that worked for them, that controlled us. It was like, here's a beautiful place for you to be where they will still worship you. They don't see us and everything's good. So the reason that we don't have disclosure, folks, is because the governments of the world that are operated by the shadow governments, which is the Illuminati, the powers that be, all these guys, is that we're still enslaved. We're still enslaved. What happens when we start to get a little bit too much awake? Then they start to slap us down, and that's what happens. The people have been murdered. The people have been, there's one fellow, his name doesn't come right now, and I'm sad to say, but he's on YouTube, and he actually... He was at the Dulce thing in New Mexico, where the Greys are supposed to be underground there, and they were doing probes in the area, drilling down and putting down optical cables with cameras on them into these caverns that they were discovering, and one of them came up with the camera cut off, so they found a way to get into that area, and he admitted that and actually testified to it that they encountered Greys, and there was a firefight, and there were Marines there, and he shot three Greys, he said, and he lost a hand from a laser hit, and he had that stump actually, you know, looked at, and they said it was not just cut off or lost, it was actually very clean, like a laser cut. Now, he was at Black Ops at the time. Now, he got out, and he was lecturing on this. Well, I think it was either Portland or Seattle. They found his body. He'd been tortured, he'd been strangled, terrible, terrible end. And he's no longer speaking about it. But what's interesting is that his father was one of the Nazis that came out of Germany that were brought over by the American government. Because believe it or not, you can bet that the dark side of the alien aspect were probably in touch with Hitler at the time. If you remember, Germany had just put together their first jet engine and their first jet plane was coming out just as the war ended. Now, where did they get that technology? So, you know, they're still trying to stifle us, and they're running out of time. All these cities that we hear about them building and these tunnels underneath the ground, it's not because all these horrible aliens are going to come and wipe us all out, like they're saying, the Anunnaki and all this stuff. What they're doing is that they're getting somewhere for them to go when the second coming and the extraterrestrial intervention happens. They got to hit ground level and get back underground like they're actually living now. So there's nothing to fear from that. But there's nothing to fear from any of this. I fear I feel more caution with the government that's supposed to be here protecting me and guiding me than I do from any extraterrestrial I've experienced. And I'll tell you right now is that I'm calling for intervention. And everybody
Which ones
needs to
would
start,
you prefer? Which
start
ones would you prefer?
Consciously asking for intervention because the governments are not representing us.
Which ones would you prefer? What are the Greys like? You know, why are they so popular? And are they like just like thrown out there to as like a lure because they look different? Like,
no, the Greys, Carmen, are the ones that were, but with the government permission, the Greys were actually the ones that were doing all the hybrid cloning, animal. Mutilations, things like this. And actually, a few years ago, there was an agreement that was going to be very limited now. And at that point, the mutilations actually have declined a lot. I won't say who, but I see things around me, and I know a lady who's always had an X on her wrist, a very fine scar, and it's about 2 inches long. And she was visiting her mother one day, and her mother looked at her and said, "Where did you get that scar from?" She said, "Oh, I've always had it." She said, "Why?" And she put her hand forward and she said, "I've got exactly the same one in the same place." So there's a lot that has been going on. The cloning, the government sold us out so many ways, but they always have since the beginning of eons. The church is involved just as badly. When the government controlled us, the church did. They've been hand in hand forever. But what I'm saying is now is the time, and they're running out of time. That's why they're building all these underground places, like under Denver Airport in Colorado. I mean, everybody knows that facility is down there. and all these sounds that we hear in different parts of the world, like the droning, and they're saying, "What's that droning in the air?" Well, a lot of that is from the boring under the crust of the earth. And they're boring tunnels everywhere, and they can actually move at lightning speed underground.
And the sinkholes, you know, you think about these things. And oh, my goodness, we have 2 minutes left in this interview. It always comes to the end so, so quickly. And I only feel like we've touched on a small, small portion of this because we were going to discuss ET language. And also I wanted but you've really, really pretty much touched on everything. And so what I wanted to give our audience was an idea as well as how to contact you, because Jeff, you're going to be launching. He's going to be traveling. I'm going to be meeting him when he comes out to Canada, and he's going to be doing UFO tours. And I'm going to be networking with some of his buddies. And what we're going to be I would just like to say you can contact him on Facebook. Jeff, his name is Jeff Faulkner. Jeff with a G E O F F Faulkner, as in Falcon, but FAULKNER. And Jeff, is there anything you want to tell your potential readers? Because you will put that book together, and if not, I will make sure that someone is going to write a really good screenplay about your story.
Well, I'll tell you, that's my dream, actually, Carmen, because that's the only way I can get it out there to the people that need to know it. And I'll tell you this, it's not boring, but I'll tell you this also, by the time someone has seen that, they'll never be the same again. And I'm hoping something like that will happen in the near future for me, because time is running out. But the thing is that it's going to take that to wake people up. It really is. We did touch on it, but from beginning of time, my time here is I've been a psychic. I've evolved up, I guess, you know. I've been taken to where God wanted me to be, basically. But I do readings out here in California. I don't do as many as I used to, mostly for local people. But if anybody's interested in having a reading, and I say limited amounts that I do, but they can contact me at healer, healer_ca48@hotmail.com. Or they also approach me on Facebook. But as I say, I'm just filling a few gaps. I don't do very many, so if anybody's interested, that'd be fine. I can do it by phone or I can do it by email.
I might contact you for into that, Jeff. And his address again is healer_48@hotmail.com.
healer_ca48.
Okay. And healer, so I
healer underscore say- CA for Canada. And yes. 48hotmail.com.
Great. I'm just so pleased you could make it. I'm so sorry you're not well. So intrigued about this. Wish we had a 2-hour event, and we kind of do, but we're going to be taking calls in the second half of the show, which is after the interview. And I just want to bless you for coming on. You are a brave man. Thank God 1997 was 20 years ago. And I really also expect better diplomacy. And if we have a leader, I hope that they know what they're doing. And I wish you the very, very best. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being on your show.
Oh, fabulous. We'll stay in touch. Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night, all.
Night. Well, that's it for the interview portion of the introduction to alien intervention and UFO witnesses. And again, Jeff, what a sweet spirit. Thank you kindly. I have such a great deal of respect for anyone carrying this type of knowledge, and I'm in awe of his courage and coming forth to share his experiences, obviously under such stress. And I wish you so much protection, safety, and light in your future, and I appreciate you sharing your insights with all of us tonight and for helping deliver such a precious and beautiful message. Thank you. So for more information, again, to make contact with Jeff, you can visit his profile on Facebook under the name Jeff Faulkner, or you can contact him at healer_ca48@hotmail.com. But just have a look at him at Facebook. We're all on Facebook, and that's great. So we're coming to the lovely part of our reading tonight, announcements. And so I'd like to take a few moments to make a few announcements. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show, and our interview tonight is over. So come into our next part to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. This will commence in about 15 to 20 minutes. We will announce the call-in number later in the show so that you don't all call through at once. So be sure to have your pen, paper ready. And if you're unable to catch our last week's show on Who Are You in the Tarot with Maureen, you will find a recorded archive link on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com, as well as all the archives of our previous shows, and you can look at us under the Archives tab. Now, it's such interesting events and shows that we have, interviews that we have, so please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details with your friends, families, aliens, and anybody else that you want to include. And it is our objective to connect as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with lots and lots of people, and intergalactically, we don't mind. So please be sure also to visit psychicbloggers.com. That's our other site to learn about everything from the paranormal to reincarnation to psychic development with many of our gifted readers on psychicaccess.com. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, please go to psychicaccess.com, where you're going to find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own individual gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find, and we're always here for you. And to select from the list of the most authentic psychics, you can find them all on there. It is an absolute delight working with Doug and PsychicAccess.com because of the high expectations and interview requirements required of each psychic. all of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com do work with Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at www.PsychicAccess.com. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. By the way, we're back here. I'm sure we had a little bit of a technical issue. Site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading. Hello? We're just doing the announcements now, so I'm just going to continue with webmasters. You can earn 50 cents a minute on reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, please visit us at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. So if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. That's happening right now. And if you would appreciate that, just forward it to anybody else. Please spread the word. So I'm going to give you the call-in number in a few minutes. But for now, I just want to go through to Banter, which is our chat time with our most very interesting selected co-hosts. So please do call in 15 minutes. It is now. Commencing with the banter on air. Steven, hi.
Hey, Carmen. What a wonderful show tonight. I loved it.
I know. What do you think?
What I think is that, if I were Jeff Faulkner, I would be addicted to Tums and Rolaids right about now. That poor guy has had such an adventure. When I was a little boy, I always thought it would be so cool. I wanted an adventurous life. But, and of course, now that I'm a man, I say no thanks. I definitely don't want an adventurous life, and especially if that entails chasing aliens and things of that sort. So I admire Jeff's bravery first and foremost, and the things that he's learning for us here on Earth who really don't have too much exposure to aliens is quite valuable. Now, you and I, Carmen, were talking briefly before the show about, the intersecting points of spirituality and alien investigations. And this is something that really interests me because the aliens are out there where God is out there as well, where the angels, the spirits, the demons, what have you, all of these things reside in the stars. And if you read some of the horror fiction of H.P. Lovecraft at the turn of the century, there's a certain demonological flair to his science fiction. And so I think this is something that is really pertinent to us when we study aliens. And this is one reason why I like guests like Jeff, is because aliens are sort of like ghosts, where ghosts give us assurance that there's an afterlife, a life after life. Aliens give us an assurance that we're not alone in this cold, hostile place called the universe. You know what I mean, Carmen?
I do understand because I think that is a perpetual gift. If it's like it's politics ad infinitum.
Politics ad infinitum. I tell you what, I was just musing with the guests in the chat room about how nice it would be about this, this show, Neighbors on ABC. How wonderful it would be to be sort of like an alien intelligence gatherer. To be observing humanity from the perspective of an alien creature who's here undercover, to gather information. What sorts of insights would this alien observer have about us? I spent a great deal amount of time thinking about that.
I know. I do too, and I'm often somewhat rather embarrassed. But then maybe actually how we're kind of endearing. I don't know.
Me too. First of all, they would laugh at our addiction to fossil fuels and combustion energy, but
Well, I was wondering about that because there's actually potential for other different types of fuel. Well, maybe we've already, stolen their proprietary technology.
Oh, no, there's nothing that we could steal from them. One of the intellectual corollaries, one of the sort of the laws of this sort of thing is that if we're dealing with an alien race, then they must be superior to ours intellectually. I don't necessarily believe that's true, but let's just go along with that. you know, really, our technology, even the best of it, is really not much better than Stone Age types of tools knocking off big chunks of matter in order to work with them. We're really not going to get to that next step until we start learning how to use nanotechnology, learning how to manipulate matter at the subatomic level. So until we get to the point where we're doing that, we're going to be the laughingstock on the celestial block, as it were. We're going to be the complete – we should be embarrassed. They would – and we're not really using technology compared to an alien intelligence, so –
Good grief. I wonder, by the way, you have a chemistry background, right? So did you ever come across, were you taught about any potential compounds, DNA compounds, proteins that...
Very interestingly, and I mean, most people, when they ponder cosmobiology, they think of life as based in a carbon... in a carbon system. Our life as we define it is carbon-based, but you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that organic compounds have to be at the heart of life all across the galaxy. For example, you know, when astrobiologists speculate about what sorts of life might exist on other planets, you know, I always find their speculations to be severely limited. I find that they rarely, if ever, think outside the box. And what they do is they play it safe. They apply Occam's razor. The simplest solution has to be the truest. And to give them credit, that's probably the truth of the matter. But why do we have to conceive of life as being humanoid? Couldn't that just be a vanity of ours to think of the Greys, for example, as being humanoid, you know, having possessing arms and legs? You know, Philip K. Dick, one of my favorite science fiction authors, once wrote about an intelligent pig on a spaceship who had the most charming conversations on the ship, but at the end of the story he was eaten and his flesh was delicious. You know, so why does intelligent life have to be humanoid, for that matter? So, you know, I think we really have, even though we investigate aliens, in a way, we still don't really step outside the box, you know. So, but we'll learn pretty soon. I think we'll forcibly figure out what's going on. And because the statistics of it are with us, and we learned this also in chemistry and biology classes, there's an equation and I don't know the actual equation, but it's very famous. You know, it basically states the probability of having life on Earth, of having a repetition of this planet, Earth, you know, a planet that's X amount of light years from a sun that is just a star that is just the size of our sun. You know, all the conditions have to be right. Well, it's easy to replicate those conditions in a universe of our size. So the statistical improbability is that we are alone here. That's the hard sell. You know?
Yeah. Or maybe we just can get them via the radio. But we're going to be going, I mean, that's another thing. I think that some people have experiences. And thank you, Stephen. That's
sure.
Fantastic thought.
Thank you.
Much, much to think about. Steve, what do you think? Steve, do we have...
Yes.
Yeah.
I found it fascinating. I've always been very interested in UFOs and extraterrestrials. So I find all of this stuff really interesting. I've watched Ancient Aliens and really enjoy it very much.
And you, have you come across, are you interested in any of the lore? Or you, I know that you've had certain, you're not going to embellish experiences, I understand that, but what do you think of the theory behind this? Do you think it's possible?
I do, absolutely. I think one of the things you learn in metaphysics is to be very open-minded, to recognize that really we know very little, we understand very little. We don't really know where we are. So I think it's wise to keep a very open mind to different theories.
But as yet, in your travails, you haven't come across anything convincing, have you?
I had some experiences when I was a kid with different entities appearing and communicating. So as a medium, I would see people in spirit. But I did have some experiences of other beings appearing. It used to happen mostly at night time. But I did have, as I said, some experiences of other entities appearing and communicating.
Yeah.
But to be honest, there was so much of it as a child that I don't really remember specific occurrences. The one occurrence I recall was with my main guide, Arthur, when I asked him to stop people from appearing at night and communicating. That was when I was about 13 years old.
Yeah, that is probably about the right age to be experiencing any kind of spiritual or psychic awakening. And so it's just layered with so, so much history. And I'm only getting into UFO or alien culture in the last year or two. So I just appreciate your input. And I am going to ask Maureen, it's your favorite topic.
Yes, I am all for the idea. I see what you're writing, Carmen, you're funny.
Sure.
of the D to the F and like from A to B point. No, I'm all for the idea. There's no, I'm not saying I believe this. All I know is what I know, and I absolutely get that. Absolutely, we're not the only ones. Okay, come on. I mean, and I also feel very strongly that we have received a lot of from the past. You know, from the 40s on about things we've heard about. No, we haven't heard about everything, but we've stolen some technology from these higher the beings that are in the universe above us who have made visits, and we have, you know, been able to tackle into their technology because, well, Area 50, what is it, 52, not 54, I always think of Studio 54, my dancing days, but I mean, in New York, Area 52, isn't it right, you guys, Area 52, correct?
51?
51. I think it was 51, 52, yes, I mean, for that matter, it's, you know, they had it all there. And look, suddenly after that time, the technology started going pretty quickly from that time on about things. And I'm, you know, come on, really? I think that we had something to do with that, or they did, that we kind of, you know, figured it out. But also I had an experience, two experiences actually, but one when I was 3 years old. And I lived in Las Vegas. I was born in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I lived there until I was three. And that out there, there's a lot of reports, well, a lot of places, but in the desert out there, there's a lot of reports. I don't know if he made mention of anything like that, because I was having problems, you know, listening, but about UFO sightings. And out in the, well, New Mexico too, but out in the deserty area. And I remember as a little girl, it was like yesterday, I remember this. There were six kids and three, during that time, you know, there were three, my brothers were not there. So, because there was three girls sleeping in one room and I was like a little girl. My sister was like 10 or 12, my oldest. So I went to my brother's room thinking, okay, I can get to sleep over in their bedroom because it's so cool. And, you know, we had those windows that you would crank open. You know, those ones that you crank open. There's no screens. You crank them open. And it was hot out. It was in the summertime and they would open up. And I went to, you know, sleep in my, you know, thought it was cool. And suddenly I see this unbelievable, like green, teal, well, like a blue, green, bright little ball, like just coming on inside through the window. And it wasn't like a flash. I thought it was someone played a prank. I go, what, my brothers are home and he's doing this. But there wasn't. And it was bouncing around and it stopped. And it wasn't like this big spaceship. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a small light. And anyway, from that time on, there's a lot of weird experiences. And years later, and I'm very skeptical about people that do our work. Not you guys, though, of course. but the thing of it is, it was like I had someone do something did practice. Okay, said something to me like I had all these cords in there that had to do with being abducted by you. Now I'm not saying I remember any abduction, but I was little. But this happened then 30 some odd more years later. Same kind of light came in to a whole another different area in Long Beach where I lived in a hotel, a huge, real four class, large hotel. This green thing came popping inside in the room, and then it just zipped right out. It was incredible. And I have read some of these UFO things. They talk about this greenish blue light. You know, through the course of my, you know, researching through my years of growing up, whatever, I have read about that. I've spoken to a couple of the credible UFO people, and they said that's very, yeah, Carmen, it's very, they have actually talked about this little light. And up above in the sky, I've seen some things, but not so closely what I had experienced before. You had an experience like that?
I believe as a child, yes, I did. And I used to have dreams, only around a certain period of time, in a certain area, for a certain amount of, with that specific light as well. And then I was too young to know the difference. And I believe that I have had a lot of spiritual or ghost experiences then too. But the interesting thing about that, Maureen, was that I saw this light, I heard a language, and then I felt something touch me on my back, and I was 6 years old, so that's pretty much the age prior to any type of, you know, psychosis, mental illness, or anything right. like that. And then you look at the fact that I could actually feel the imprint of the nail in my back, in my flesh. And I remember calling for my mother, and my mother, she's listening to the show tonight. She might remember this, but she can't really call in. And she turned the light on, and it was fine. So clearly it wasn't actually physically in my room, though it was able to maybe materialize in some kind of form of a somatic hallucination. So even if the experience wasn't actually physically real, there was a translation of it. And it was only recently that I remembered this encounter, because I've been spiritually inclined all my life. And there is such a, I think that's quite interesting. Yours was green. Mine was,
it was like a blue, it was like a blue green with some green, but it was like real, it was beautiful actually.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Good. Yours was the same color form kind of.
Was it friendly? Mine wasn't. Mine did not feel friendly.
Mine, you know what? My brother, at 3 years old, my brothers are playing this joke, and I was looking all like a flash. I don't know what they're doing, but the color was brilliant. But it was like very, I wasn't scared, but I thought they were playing a prank on me until I realized, well, this is really pretty. And it just kind of bounced. It was kind of like observing me. And it wasn't an extraterrestrial being, but then who knows what it was, except I just have heard other people talk about in the sky, they've seen these colors when they're up in the sky of that same color. But when I was in my 30s, like I said, the same thing exactly came in. It's almost like, were they checking up on me when I was like 35 years old? But I didn't know, but it was the same color exactly. And it was like it's hard to explain. There was a blue, it was beautiful. And it wasn't very large. It was a small round. It was about as big as an orange, or a little bit smaller, like an apple, big apple, or, you know, medium sized orange.
You know, I'm thinking of all kinds of lighting ideas for ambient lighting in my.
Yeah, exactly. No, my favorite lighting. Yeah. Anyway, that's my story.
Okay, well, thank you so much. No, that's just great. We're on the same page. So we are now at the portion where you can actually dial and call in. And you can call us, please, at 724-444-4851. Now, that's easy to remember because it's like 4851, Area 51. So let's try 724-444-4851. So, Maureen, just as we're going into the banter, so, and did you get any message from these guys? Do you remember anything they were saying?
No, but what's interesting, that time during my life, there was a lot. I remember so, you know, sometimes we remember so much by the, and you're talking, first of all, I want to say, you're talking about before we get, you know, mental illness, but really before we're 10 is when we're not conditioned yet. So we're beings, you know, really as we're born psychically, we all are, we run out of wits, that we don't have any, you know, conditions yet. So anything is open game. But I do feel that because years later somebody spoke to me about when I was a little girl, you know, something they said.
We've lost Maureen. Oh, Maureen, it's okay. Listen, we'll pick it up here with our next caller, and then we'll finish that what you were saying in a minute. So right now we have a caller, please. I believe the order starts with Stephen. Stephen, could you take the next caller?
I have a call from Florida. Hello, who am I speaking with in Florida? Hello, Florida.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, what's your first name, ma'am?
Mary.
Hi, Mary. Thank you very much for calling the Psychic Viewpoint tonight. How may I help you?
Being a girl obviously has to do with the relationship question.
Okay.
I've been dating this guy for about a year and a half, and I wanted to know if I should walk away from him. And if I do you think he will kind of stop me from walking away? I'm actually really confused. We broke up about a month ago, and I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, first of all, you asked whether or not you should just walk away. The answer to that question coming from me is yes, you should. Now, whether or not you will, that's up to you. But you called the Psychic Viewpoint tonight. You wanted to know the psychic advice here. What can I see in the long term for this relationship? It's going to be a roller coaster ride. There are going to be a lot of bright moments that are going to seem to make it all worthwhile, but then those bright moments are going to be balanced by moments of despair, moments where you break up, and there's going to be this cycle of doing that always, always, always. And the problem here, Mary, is that you're going to be conditioned, you know, for moments when he's giving you the silent treatment, when he's being cruel or perhaps or not enthusiastic. Those moments are going to make the time...
Person
ma'am?
Being cruel.
Yes, ma'am.
He texted me back and I haven't responded because, I mean, he treats me like a princess, but I'm confused because, you know, if he's serious, he would stop me from walking away. And if he's not, then, you know, I'd just move on.
Yeah, well, he's absolutely not serious. That's one reason why he's got you confused, because when you're confused, it makes it a little bit easier to, you know, friend zone you when it's convenient to have you in the friend zone, but then perhaps move you to a more romantic category when that's more convenient as well. So he's not confused, I can promise you that. He's not confused at all. And unfortunately, this relationship isn't going to be the sort of thing that is going to turn into a long-lived and sincere and happy relationship over the long term. The best that can happen with this gentleman is that you'll have isolated moments of warmth where he's texting you or where he seems to be enthusiastic. But I promise you, that's temporary and it's not going to last. It's going to change. Mm-hmm. And as a result, when he does start pulling away, this might actually arouse in you the ability to sort of clutch at him and cling to him. And, you know, it's just going to keep on going like that. He's going to pull away. And then after a while, he'll come back and want to become your friend again, want to become emotional with you again, affectionate with you again, for example. And, you know, the cycle will perpetuate itself. So I'm thinking of the long term here, Mary. And seriously, the best thing you can do for yourself right now is to just go ahead and nip it in the bud, because you called me tonight and you asked the question, should I just walk away from this? And I put that question to the tarot, and the answer that I got back on that was yes. So I'm sorry to be negative about that, but it's in your long-term best interest, Mary, because you know what? You'll attract a man who's much more appropriate for you, who's going to make you happy all of the time, consistently, instead of this back-and-forth dynamic with the gentleman you're calling me about tonight, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
I know it's disappointing. I know it really is disappointing. You know, now once you do, here's where it's going to get difficult, because this is also going to happen. Once you do decide for yourself that you want to put him out of your life, that's when he's going to really want to start being a part of it. Okay. Just remember what I tell you, it's going to be temporary, his enthusiasm. Okay, Mary.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah. I really appreciate you calling us. I wish you the best of luck going forward. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Always good to have a little reality check from another man. And if you want to speak to Stephen, you can see him at psychicaccess.com. You can reach him there. Thank you very much. It's always a very great reading. We have our next caller for Steve. Steve, you have a caller from North Carolina.
Thank you. Who's calling from North Carolina?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What's your name?
I'm calling tonight just to kind of see where my relationship is going. We're approaching our year mark. We live together, and it seems to be going good, but because of my past relationships, well, my marriage, for 20 years, I have insecurities, and I just want to tap into those and see if they are insecurities or if they're real.
Okay. What's your first name?
My first name is Kelly.
Kelly. All right, Kelly, let's have a look. Let's see. No, I feel that this relationship is solid. Kelly, I feel that your current partner has just far more solidity and maturity than your previous partner. So it your partner feels like somebody that's just more established, standing on firm ground. And I feel that you tend to go for partners that are quite intellectual, have a lot of ideas, a lot of opinions or views upon things. So you're somebody that's smart and you like to have a good, strong intellectual connection, which I think is very important in a relationship. But this time you're with somebody that's got far more intellectual maturity, somebody that's not necessarily older. I'm not saying that your current partner is older than your previous partner by any means, but I feel this sense of maturity. And also I feel with your current partner a much better work ethic, a solid commitment to the things in life that we have to take care of, the pragmatic matters. So I feel that your relationship is a good one, and I can see looking at the cards that you came from a relationship that was very disappointing because you really felt that it would be forever, and it went from something that was actually very good at the beginning to something that was completely the reverse. Now, I do feel that you've got some hang-ups, and I feel that you need to work on that. I don't feel that your issues are actually about the relationship that you're in. I do feel that they are more about the relationship you were in the past. But I do feel equally that you need to work through that because you have a tendency to think a little bit too much. And you can think yourself into challenges that don't necessarily exist. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I do, you know, I feel 100%. Like is your partner involved in construction anyhow, or architecture? Because I keep on tuning into an architecture and a theme about structures, foundations, and even property.
He's very good with his hands, but he's in the trucking industry, but he is constantly working with his hands. He never sits still.
Yeah, he's smart as well. He's somebody that's
very smart.
That's practical, but that's intellectually smart. I feel that he's very, very capable. I feel that the two of you could actually even build a home together in the not too distant future, because he's really very capable. He's got wonderful ideas, and I feel good about your relationship. I really do. I feel though that you just need to do some work, making sure that you're not carrying forward any fears or issues from the past. And you've got to understand as well that it's not just a question of the relationship you were in previously. It's a question of everything you've ever experienced in this lifetime and before. So we evolve with these different patterns. We grow through pleasure and pain. All animals evolve through pleasure and pain. And unfortunately, because of experiences we've had, and as I said, the majority of them prior to this lifetime, in fact, we've integrated unconsciously certain patterns. So you may have an unconscious expectation that a relationship can be challenging or doesn't work out or that you're not taken care of. And you've got to work through that and get beyond it, because otherwise it can cause you anxiety, you difficulty in the relationship. But I feel that this is a great guy. I feel that you're a great girl. And I don't know if you want to have children, but I feel as though pregnancy is on the horizon for you.
Oh, no.
I really do. Because I've got a card that says you need to be mindful of that.
That never says that can't happen, but I take his daughter as my own.
Oh, you do? Wonderful. Well, yes. You've got a good, solid relationship, and I feel really good about it, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. So you can find Steve for a reading also on psychicaccess.com. I believe I have a call, and I think it's from Georgia. So we're going to try connect. 3, 2, 1. Hello, Georgia. Georgia, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
This is Kathy. This morning.
Hello, Kathy. Nice to meet you. How was your evening tonight? Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to the show.
Oh, hey. Is this Maureen?
No, this is Carmen.
Carmen, oh, okay.
We're having a technical problem right now, but I can take your call, and why don't I go ahead and do that?
Okay. I was just trying to find out. I do consulting, and I'm on the bench right now, which means out of work, and I'm just trying to see how soon they will find my next assignment.
Okay, let me have a look here for you. And so what they're looking for you is local. So what kind of the consulting that you might do is if it's global, they're going to tighten it and they're going to bring it into a local area, or they're going to change the areas from which they source consultants like yourself. So that's, by the way, just a little bit of insight onto your industry. And I don't know what your industry is, but that is probably a significant change. Now, what that could mean is it does swing around in your favor, because it seems to me that you will be getting an offer, very highly competitive offer, with a very big company. Actually, this is possibly, you're looking at someone linked with a Fortune 500 company, or actually even you know, higher at the top. So it's actually saying here a major corporation that will be outsourcing. But again, this is kind of like a little bit of, this is a contract for you. So again, outsourcing being kind of the term. And so, I mean, for you, this is good news. And I'm looking at, in terms of, Kathy, for you, timing. Now, I'm going to throw some numbers out there, and hopefully they will match up. So I'm just going to give this a quick shuffle, and let's see if we can get a month, date, or time for you. So actually pretty much right away, we're looking here at about 6 to 7 weeks at max. So it does say here, in a sense, I mean, I know not being out of work, not a good thing to say relax. How long have you been unemployed for? Or out of contract?
3 weeks, it'll be.
Yeah. So it is, but you know, this is the time of year. I mean, they're all releasing their sales figures, their quarterly figures. So absolutely, you know, hiring will go up within the next 2 weeks. You probably won't be out of work for more than 6 or 7 from this point. Hopefully it is from the point, a bit earlier on that I would want to count, 3 weeks and then make it hopefully just 3 to 4 weeks from now, you know, that you're going to have work. So I'm really expectant that sounds like a very nice position for you. Money is okay. Again, you're looking at trying to get long-standing sort of access to the company, and I'm just not sure if they do that at this point. So you'll be okay, and I think you should probably just keep your head high. Your headhunter is looking for you, knows the business very well. And I think the market is changing, but it is in an industry that changes so quickly and is so well managed that you should be up and going within about 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, just one question. I actually work for a company that consults out my services, so it's kind of a unique thing where I work for one company to do consulting, and they market my skills out to someone else. So were you thinking of that? Because I wasn't sure.
Probably.
My situation is a little unique than most.
Yeah, and what I would encourage you to do is, because that sounds like I'm touching on the specialized aspects of your company, and you're more than welcome to give me a call and ask about your company structure and how they're planning on fitting you in. Because I'm seeing that already, and I'd be interested in hearing what industry you're in. I like feeling what industry you're in for research. for economic research, and just feel free to give me a call. My name is Carmen, and I'm quite confident that they are going to take care of you. So in other words, keeping you within the loop, basically.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Uh-huh. You're welcome. But best luck to you and great industry you're in, whatever it's in, you know. Go forth and challenge. And great. Maureen, we have you back here.
Yes.
Lovely. We have a caller from you. Yes. From Missouri.
Thank
you,
Carmen.
We missed you.
I know. I miss you guys. Hi, Missouri. Hello.
Hello. I have an important test to take tomorrow called the DAP, and I'm just wondering how I'm going to do on it.
Okay. You have a exam. You said an exam tomorrow on the
DAT, it's the dental admissions test.
Oh, good for you. Okay, and you'd like to know, well, I'm sure you'd like to know how they is going to be going for you. Okay, yes. You know, this is what I'm, what's your name, so I can address you by name?
Christina.
Christina, hi Christina. Okay, well, you know, this is my feeling, and what I'm seeing here is that, were you kind of stagnating on taking this in the first place, like not feeling you're going to do, not having a lot of, faith in yourself by taking this. Did you kind of, you're going to do fantastic. In fact, it feels like we're in the last part of February, but even in January, even in January, I see a hard-earned victory. And so if you kind of like decided, if January may have been early January or something, you were going to take this and you put it aside or whatever, stagnate a little bit, that's okay. I see a very hard-earned income and hard-earned victory, just like it sounds, very hard-earned. It's been hard for you, and I do absolutely see, but I feel that you really need to focus on, or I'm encouraging you, I don't want to tell you what to do, encouraging you to focus on seeing this, that you're going to really do well, because our thoughts can sometimes make us all go, and I know for my own personal reasons, you know, you put a thought in your mind thinking you're going to be, it's just not going to be good and everything else. It looks like you haven't had a lot of good support either from others or role models, people that are back, you know, saying, oh, you're great, you're wonderful, and, you know, that are important to us. I absolutely see you doing fantastic, and really I see you celebrating with three, like, there's three of you, different female friends, like two sisterly feeling, like good friends celebrating. Absolutely. You're going to do fantastic. I do see you going on a short trip in the next 6 weeks for something, just like a very short trip. I don't know. Maybe it would be to get some, I don't know. It's something about maybe training or peace of mind with this. It's fantastic. You deserve this, and it's been a long time coming, and I just want you, encourage you to believe that you're absolutely, this is your time. It's time for you. You're ready.
Okay.
Gonna do quite well. I mean, you know, everything I'm telling you, I'm sure that you already know this, but yes, have faith, and it's there's so much justice and fairness. It's you deserve everything like this, and you've worked hard at it. Okay.
Thank you.
You thank yourself. I wish you well, and not that I would need to, but you're going to do great, really. Absolutely. You deserve it. Okay. Thank you, Christy, for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Lucky you, Maureen. That was a lovely reading. Thank you. You can
thank
reach
you.
Maureen at psychicassets.com, and her name is Maureen, right? So our next caller is for Steve. Steve, you have a caller from Florida. Steven, you have a caller from Florida.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Hello, Florida. Who am I speaking with?
Hello. My name is Ebony.
Ebony, thank you very much for calling Psychic Viewpoint tonight. How may I help you?
I'm calling because I recently had an old friend that came back into my life, and we were kind of dating, but then things kind of went really bad. So I'm just wondering, is that relationship over or is it not over? And just like, in general, my love life.
Okay. Well, let's see what's going on with this relationship. Okay, Ebony? One second while I pick up on this one, okay? One second, please.
Okay.
Is this relationship over? For better or for worse, it is not over. No matter what you might think that it is, you might hope that it is, you might hope that it is not, but I'm sitting here, I'm telling you that there are going to be extra innings in this particular baseball game. Trump number 16, I'm sitting here looking at a chronology here, and this timeline is going to carry this relationship into the future for at least the next several weeks to months. And right now, we're in the season of the Tower. A Mars card, a card of having your false security frustrated. You know, so maybe even a time of arguing or a time of silent treatments for sure. It's not a big deal, but my point is that it's a temporary season. It's going to pass. You wait and you mark my words, this gentleman is going to become much more outgoing with you here moving forward. That's the next step, in fact, in this saga. This gentleman is going to become very much like an Aries male. Okay, in the sense that he's going to be outgoing, he's going to be taking initiative, he's going to be probably a bit stubborn and impulsive. You know, he might very well contact you because he impulsively got into some trouble with someone, arguing with someone, something of that nature. But he's going to be adventurous, pioneering, and he's going to take initiative, meaning he's going to pick up the phone and call you. He's going to definitely call you. But, however, I see that pretty much this thing is going towards... I don't know, a financial sort of result. I don't know if you guys are going to have a mutual monetary project or business project or something of that nature. Maybe you're going to ask him for help or he might ask you for help in the future. But one thing that you called me about was to see whether or not this relationship's going anywhere. And yeah, it's going someplace. You know, well, it's not going to be a fairy tale all the time, but there are going to be some more sunny days here with this gentleman and also some challenges, too. But you haven't heard the last of them. Now, do you have anything I said so far that confused you or caused you any concern?
Yeah, because I think you might be talking about a different dude. This guy, like, recently came back into my life. Like, we were friends in high school, and then he just, like, appeared out of nowhere. I think you're more talking about the guy I'm involved with now. What guy are you picking up on?
Well,
his name?
Now his name is pretty much it's not really going to matter right now. The gentleman that I'm actually speaking about would be the one that you're sort of fighting with right now. Now is that your current partner or the gentleman from your past?
That's my current partner. I was talking about a guy that I was recently talking to, and we were getting close, like on the verge of dating, and then he just got mad at me and stopped answering my phone call.
Ah, well, that dude is also going to call you back, too. I mean, I don't want you to think that relationship, even though he might be seeming mad now, that's also going to resolve itself. So you're going to get a second shot with this gentleman as well. I can tell you that for a fact.
He's wanting to be with, not the one I'm currently with, because he's very not trustworthy. I can't trust him. The one I'm currently like involved with right now.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's just do a forecast to see what you can expect out of this gentleman from your past, specifically, not your current boyfriend, but this gentleman from your past. All right, let's see where the next 3 months are going to take us with this guy real fast, okay?
Okay.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and, you know, he will be back in contact again, but the Three of Swords says that you're going to find out, you know, pretty much some more details as to why he got mad this time. In other words, you know, I believe that the Three of Swords definitely means there are going to be some future disagreements with him, but it's not going to be enough to sour any and all future contact going forward from there, you see. And in fact, I see that he's going to become more appealing to you than your current partner, believe it or not, because you're going to feel as if you have more of an influence over this gentleman that you're talking, this gentleman from your past. Now, you know, I don't really know what happened in the past between you guys, but I would expect the next 4 to 8 weeks to be spent perhaps on dealing with what happened in the moments, you know, intervening years, you see, between from when you guys knew each other before up until now. That could be what the Three of Swords means. However, what it definitely means is that you know, the next 4 to 6 weeks with this gentleman are going to be up and down. There are going to be some nice moments. The Six of Scepters in particular says you guys are going to have some actual dates. So it's not going to be a situation where you never see or hear from him again. But the second month, going from March to April, I would expect there to be a recurrence of some arguments. That's when the Three of Swords card takes place. The month following that, April to May, Trump number 21, that tells me that you're going to get a handle on this and finally understand how to sort of wisely use your influence over him. So the long and short of it is that you're going to have more ability to get what you want out of this gentleman who's recently come into your life, but the next 4 to 6 weeks are going to be spent learning about the person he is now versus the person he used to be when you knew him before. Okay, Ebony?
Yes.
But you're going to hear from him again for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Have a good night, okay?
You too.
Yes, ma'am.
Very nice, Stephen. Thank you. You can reach Stephen at psychicaccess.com under the name Stephen. Now, we have Steve, you have a caller from New York.
Thank you, Carmen. Who's calling from New York?
Hi, this is Christy.
Christy.
Yep.
How can I help you, Christy?
I was just curious if there's any particular issues that I need to address right now.
Let's see. Let's have a look, Christy. Let's see. I feel, looking at the cards, I feel that you're doing pretty well, Christy. I do feel that when it comes to your career direction, that there needs to be some reflection. I feel as though generally in life your situation's good, but I don't feel that you're realizing your full potential or using all of your skills in your career at the moment. And that's where I anticipate some change for you. Have you been thinking about your career? Yeah. It is time, Christy, to really listen to yourself and take action, because it's just not the trajectory you have at the moment is not the right one. You're not actually headed in the where you want to be. You understand?
I do. I'm currently kind of like in between things because I'm just graduating college.
Okay.
And I just got a fellowship, and I mean it's sort of in line with what I want to do and like my dharma, but it's not ultimately what I want to do.
Yeah, I mean
it's only temporary.
It's fine. You know, you've just got to be very clear about what your direction is and make sure that any roles you take are aligned with that direction in the longer term. So I feel if you were to just step into this opportunity and remain there, you'd be missing out. And I feel that there are actually quite a lot of opportunities for you in the future. I don't feel that you will stay on that path for more than about 10 months. I feel that you'll learn a lot. It will be quite challenging. Don't be unsettled by the fact that it's a challenging role or opportunity. Really learn everything there is to learn, but keep your eye very focused clearly on the direction you do want to take, because I feel that you change tracks in about 10 months' time. So really, you're putting your toe in the water, dipping your toe in the water, but there's a male figure, a very creative and well-established male figure who offers you an alternative opportunity, but it takes almost a year. It's about 10 months. But other than this, I feel as though you're doing well. I feel as though you've applied yourself and you've got lots of opportunity.
That's interesting.
How do you feel?
Well, I feel kind of confused because it's like it's a 2-year fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be there for 2 years. I mean, that's not to say I can't just ditch them, but
I don't feel the change will be a problem for you. I feel that the change that presents itself is something that you'll really embrace as a wonderful opportunity and you'll move on. So I'm saying to you, although you've got this new opportunity, keep a very open mind and be aware that it's very likely you would not do the 2 years. But don't let that bother you. You go in there, learn everything there is to learn, and if something better comes along, which I feel it does, and pretty soon, it's only 10 months away. 10 months, maybe 11. So just enjoy it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome, Christy. I wish you lots of luck.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
Wow, very, very thorough. Steve, thank you. Excellent. Excellent reading. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com under the name Steve. I have a call from California. And I'd like to say hello, California. Person from California. Hello. She's coming in on a westerly wind, so just give her a little bit of time. If not, we'll take the next call. Okay. So we may have had a little problem there with our wind direction and wind speeds, and we're just going to wait for the next caller to come through. In the meantime, I would like to say hello to the aliens, and hopefully if you're listening, you can give us a call as well. Oh, here we have a call from Florida. Okay, we're going to connect with Florida. Hi, Florida.
Hi. I live in D.C. My number is just registered in Florida.
That's fine. Hi, welcome, and thank you for calling. You're having a close encounter with a psychic tonight. What can I do for you? What's your question? What's your name?
Hi, my name is Ivory.
Hi, Ivory. Oh, lovely. Okay, and go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to know more so about my future and my job. I really want to leave my current occupation or my current position where I'm at. So I just want to know about, you know, the future and what that holds for me as far as, like, employment.
Sure. Let's have a look here. It sounds like you know what you're doing, and I love that attitude. So I'm going to have a look and try and identify what you're going to be doing. You're actually going to be leaving a very, very busy job and or a position that you're in. Like, you're leaving a busy area. You're going to go into an even more high-pressure job. And it seems to me here that it will be about about responsibility. So either your management or your organizational capacities. And it does say here it's slightly restricted. So in other words, if you're working within a company, you're in a certain area that's closed off from other outside areas, maybe for, you know, data purposes or security purposes or privacy purposes. So it does say here that you're in an area that's going to be, it's a very good contract. And then for some reason, you know, children come in here, and I'm not sure why, but perhaps there's some kind of training that you're going to be doing. So can I ask you a little bit more about what you do? So I can give you even better an answer, in a way, if you just tell me what you do.
Yes, what I do is what I'm doing currently.
Yes.
I work in a call center.
And then you're going on to?
What am I trying to go on to?
Yes.
A call center.
Because
I'm
identifying a job here where you're probably, I'm wondering here, if you're calling from a call center, you're going into a similar position because it's probably, you know, data-oriented, but you're going to be in a training capacity, plus it's going to be more in line with what you've originally enjoyed doing. Call center is like, well, it's, you know, it's probably could encompass any type of company, which is why I was trying to figure out what particular line of call center you were working in to see where you were going. But I guess at this point I would say that it's like you may be looking at some kind of a similar job for now. It's very, very busy where you are.
And yes, it has been lately.
Yeah, what is it? Is it like telecommunications? Where are you at? Bank or what?
I work in energy. I work for a third-party supplier for electricity and gas.
Right, right. So this is like ongoing work within the same type of job, except you might actually be training people. And that's why I got that, you know, you could be bumped up. I don't even think it's necessarily that company. I think that this is just going to be applicable to your job experience. Mm-hmm. And then it says here, you know, for now, don't think about moving. There's a little bit of advice there about that. And okay. I want you to just sort of think about probably that you're going to be secure. Money is going to be okay.
At my current job or the next position?
The next position. You're coming up as a Queen of Pentacles with the star next to it. The only issue here, and that's actually very fortuitous, it means you might have a slight increase in your pay. And it actually comes up to say here that you're going to have, for some reason, some reach in the creative aspects of this company as well. So that could be fall into marketing. You know, you can see marketing as creative. I do think it is. And then it seems to me here that you're going to be – the only issue that comes in, and this is another side reading, and I encourage you if you need to call about this, is something about your family that comes into your reading.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus Christ, you're scaring me.
Why? What happened? Are you okay with your
family? You're right, though. You're right.
Oh, really, eh? Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm not sure what that, how that affects your job search, but is that what's prompting you to leave? Because then that might be important.
Yeah, pretty much it is a great distance for me to travel, and I do have a small son, so I like to get home to him sooner, but I am certainly having a little bit of, you know, issue as far as with my son, so that's why that probably is coming in very strong, because that's something that's weighing on me currently right now, you know?
That's right. That's why it came in with, I think, daycare, kids, training, you being promoted, and your concern about family. And then it stresses, try not to move, okay? I only have about a minute left with you, but really good that we connected so quickly. And I would say... if your greatest wish is to be with your child, that will occur, but it may not be for another 3, 7, say a year and a half in a way. And that's like a huge chunk of a child's upbringing. So I just want you to think about the fact that apparently he is going to have a little friend, but that's neither here nor there. I know that you've got the bond with this child, and that's very important to you. Look, I feel like there's going to be some kind of staggered hours where you are going to be given an extra day or week of slower work, and then we're looking at some interaction with an ex-partner or partner. Actually, he's very beneficial. You know what? Your reading is so very intense, and we are closing out right now on our call portion, at least for this call. And so I want you to, you know, call me if you want, or we lucked out on a very good reading for you. Things are pretty steady.
Okay, who I read to? What's your name?
It's Carmen.
Well, I'm sorry, what is it?
Carmen, C-A-R-M-E-N. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, my son is calling me in the back. Carmen, okay. So, and can I reach you after this?
I will probably be online at 10:30. Yes, you can. Okay, why don't
we
do that?
I'll definitely try to reach out to you. Is there any way you can send me the information to the phone, or where should I go?
Probably if you come into our chat room, then there's a direct link to us. And then from there, we can probably have, we'll be in touch via the system email, right? So please come to www.psychicaccess.com. That's slightly different from our radio show link. So it's www.psychicaccess.com. Okay?
Okay, so right. I can reach you at 10:30.
Okay, great.
All right.
Wonderful. Well, we'll
right,
talk
Carmen.
To you then.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Great.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good one.
There is one more caller. Yeah, I think I did see something about trying California again. I don't know if you might have. You were on a reading. So California, I guess. Hello, California. Are you there? My hometown. Where are they? Hello. I know. You know our Californians. They don't. Hello, California. Hello, are you there? Wait for it. California. You know how us Californian people are. We just don't answer. Well, I thought I'd try. Well,
hello.
Wait, I hear something. Hello, is this California, state of?
No, this is Illinois.
Well, Illinois, that's okay. Hi, Illinois. May I have your name, please?
Hi, this is Len.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Len.
Lynn.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And what can I help you with?
Okay, I was in a relationship with this guy that I met, and some things happened, and I saw the true side of him, and I didn't kind of quite agree with it, and his reactions to the situation, so I kind of like stepped back and stopped calling him and stuff like that, but he keeps calling me and texting me, and I really don't want to be bothered because we're not on the same page or the same wavelength. And,
oh, you're refreshing.
You know, and it's like that. They say when something becomes an ex, whatever exit you out of that person, whatever made that person exit out of your life. I mean, it's good to go back to the ex, but whatever exit that person out of your life, you shouldn't, if it's not exited out, then you shouldn't go back with them.
Yes, you are one of the most healthiest women I've spoken to in a long time when it comes to everybody listen up, please, because it's very important. Your reading will be very important. Although I won't be able to do a long one, but I want to commend you for, you have a very, very healthy outlook on this because you know what it is what it is. So what you're asking me is this, what to do about it or what to do with him, or, I mean, you really do have it together.
What to do about it and what to do with him.
Okay. Really? You could tar and feather him.
If I just go out into the real world and enjoy my life, I would probably get somebody
back. We do know this. First of all, you know, you can't control him. As you know, that it didn't work out for that. You know, if we could in a perfect world, everything would be lovely. I am seeing this. You are very well grounded and you're mindful, and I'm just so impressed. Not impressed. I'm just so, it makes me feel very good talking to a woman who's so mindful of this. I honestly feel that I don't see you being very, you're not very available for him whatsoever. I mean, you've already kind of said he'll continue to do what he needs to do, but that's, you can't control that. That's fine. But I don't see that you're going to be fusing or connecting with him. You're not making it easy for him to kind of connect with you right now. That's because you've changed. You've made your boundaries. There's nothing more, excuse me, that you can see, what I can see for you to that you could do. However, I do feel that you're going to start feeling so much better. I see you going about your life. I see you coming almost back up from being someone that has been like kind of down and not feeling physically well, a little bit depressed. And I see you getting your batteries recharged. This is the best timing that this has happened for you to be able to really break free. You're taking back your personal power. I do feel that he's going to keep doing this for a bit, but he'll give up. I don't feel I don't feel or see that there would be anything that you can or cannot do. Like I said, you couldn't control them. You couldn't control it when you were trying with them, right? So
I
would just go about my business.
It was just like the connection wasn't there. I mean,
he wasn't stepping it up, obviously. And not only that, it's already done, but that you still, I mean, like I said, you can't force him not to try. But I don't feel it'll be going on much longer. And you. Do you feel bad for him? Is that what happens? Do you feel bad?
No, I don't feel bad for him. I feel that he's like just,
he's relentless.
He's not the person for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you want him to get that through his head.
I caught him in lies. He's very self-centered. That's what he is. Very self-centered. I caught him in lies. And situations happen. And when you see the real true person of somebody,
yes, you're mindful.
At the stage of the game of a relationship, then you'll know, like, okay, this is how he is now. 2 years from now, he'll be the same way.
No, you've done well. You've been mindful. You're very self-aware, and you're doing the right thing. I don't feel that he'll be keep this up with you because you're not going to respond to him or react to him. I say in the next 3 weeks, it'll be completely. He won't be bothering you anymore. He'll get it. You have nothing to worry about. And I see you moving on in a very positive direction, extremely positive direction. Absolutely. Okay?
Yeah.
Good for you. Keep up the good
sometimes
work.
You have to let
everybody,
you
I hope all the women hearing this.
What's your name?
You're a good example of that. I hope I helped you. My name's Maureen.
What's your name?
Maureen.
What?
Yes.
Maureen?
And I'm at Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N. And I am at psychicaccess.com if you haven't yet had a 6-minute free reading if you sign up, or if you are a client over there, I'm over there, Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling. Good for you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Maureen.
Sure.
Lovely. You can reach Maureen at psychicaccess.com. That's where we are, and that's where we all are, waiting for you and looking forward to meeting you. Maureen, thank you very much. And this is where we do conclude our program, and I want to thank you so much for coming. And I wanted to ask Steve first. Please, Steve, you have a show next week, right? Tell us a bit about that.
I do. We have Lisa Williams, world-renowned psychic medium with us.
Yes. Tell us a bit about her.
Well, she's British, and she's had a number of TV shows in the US. She actually lives in Beverly Hills or Hollywood now, I think, LA area. And she's going to be joining us next week to tell us all about her experiences working with spirit and helping people all over the world.
Oh, phenomenal. Great. And she's British. Yay. Okay, great. This is going to be a fun show with us and both of you. And I look forward to that. Thank you, Steve. And that brings us to another wonderful show and interview. And thank you, Doug. Doug actually works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-hosts for coming and joining me tonight and for listening to our new topic. So thank you, Maureen. Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Stephen. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. See you next week.
And good night, Steve. You have a wonderful evening as well.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Arrivederci, everybody. Ciao.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.